greatly to be praised. Last week we had a great week, had a guest speaker that was here, and a wonderful service where six people for the first time experienced Pentecost as described in Acts chapter 2, and we're so grateful for what God did. And in anticipation of what God was going to do last week, I had determined that I would do a series following last Sunday entitled Now What? And so I'm going to begin that, and this will be 3 weeks that I will do on Now What? The longer title is I'm Saved, Now What? It's not enough just to be saved, but now what? What do we do? What is it that we should expect? And so we're going to begin that today. And if you would, turn your attention to John chapter 3. I'm going to read three verses, and I will hit a lot of scripture throughout what I do today. John chapter 3 in the New Living Translation. And before I read, special thanks to Kai, our worship leader, who's not able to be here due to being out of town, and so we're so grateful that he was able to be here and lead worship today. Why don't you give the worship team a hand today? John 3, verse 3, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean, exclaimed Nicodemus, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you that no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. And so my title today is this, The New Birth is Just the Beginning. The new birth is just the beginning, and I'm going to move down here, make it a little more intimate. That way you can't ignore me because I can just walk over there wherever you are. And just kidding. How many of you have been on vacation? Anybody love vacation? How many wish they were on vacation right now? Well, right after service. Wait a minute. Right after service on vacation. Vacation is wonderful. Vacation is fun. Sometimes after vacation, you need a vacation from your vacation, but that's another story. But a vacation is multiple steps and multiple stages. Here in Kansas City, we currently, where we live here or where we're standing today or sitting here today, we're about 40-plus minutes from the airport. And when you're a kid, sometimes the best part of vacation is the airplane. And so you're on this journey from here. You get in the vehicle, you drive 40 minutes or so, you get all checked in, you get on the airplane, and now you're heading to this destination. But the airplane is not the destination. It may be exciting, it may be necessary, it may be everything, it may be the only way in which you can reach your destination, but it is not the destination. And when I was 12 years old, I flew for the first time, flew to Washington, D.C. And I will tell you that my favorite part of that vacation was the airplane. It was great. Once you've flown a lot, though, it's like, this is boring. It just takes a lot of time, and you got to sit by people you don't know and you don't like, and they are scooted over in your seat. And so airplane rides are not that great unless you're a kid for the first time. 2014, we went to Disney World from St. Louis, and it was a much shorter drive to the airport, but my daughter's, one of her favorite rides was the airplane. And while airplanes are cool, it's just a part of the process. It is not the destination. And so in like manner, when we get saved, that's not the destination. It's an essential part of getting to our destination, but the new birth and experiencing conversion is not the end in itself. It is just a beginning of a new part of our journey. That our destination is heaven. Our destination is to be in the presence of Jesus Christ forever. But the new birth is necessary in order to get us there, but it is not the end goal. It's just a part of the process. When people are saved, however, they often see conversion as the end goal. That if I can just be saved or have this salvation experience, that's all I need to do. But I would tell you that it is just the beginning of a new part of the journey. It is not the only and the ultimate goal. We are saved not just to be saved, but we're saved so that we can be with Jesus forever. That's the goal. That's what we're after, is to spend eternity with Him. And until we get there, this is just a stop or a stage on the journey. Nicodemus, in the text I read, actually, he's not mentioned by name in those three verses. Well, until, I guess verse 4 he is. But Nicodemus, he's a ruler of the Jews. He's one of what people would say are the Sanhedrin, which means he's one of the ruling 70 religious elders of the Jews. He sees that Jesus is doing all manner of miracles and signs, and he's doing all of this teaching, and they can tell when he's teaching that he's teaching as one that has authority. He's not just like any other rabbi, but he is somebody special, that there is something great. But the Jewish rulers, they don't like Nicodemus, they don't like Jesus, because he's talking about things that they disagree with. He's talking about not being a part of their structure, what they're doing. He's talking about, you don't have to follow these rules like the Pharisees have, and all of these things. And they don't like him because he's not one of them. But Nicodemus recognizes that there's something special about Jesus. And he comes to him and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God be with him." And then Jesus, in verse 3, our text, he answers with this. He says, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, if somebody told you that, hindsight is always 20/20, right? That coming from the backside of something, you can see it, but we would probably be like Nicodemus if Jesus said that to us, "Unless you're born again." And Nicodemus is like, "What does that mean? How can a man be born when he's old? Can he go back and enter the second time into his mother's womb?" Nicodemus, he knows this isn't possible. And so Jesus elaborates on what he means in verse 5. He says that, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." Now, my purpose today is not to delve into the theological implications of this text, but Jesus does elaborate and he explains exactly what he means by being born again. That being born again means to be born of the water and Spirit. And as we see in the New Testament, that born of the water is a reference to baptism, and born of the Spirit is a reference to that Spirit infilling, or that Holy Spirit baptism, which John the Baptist promised. He said, "I baptize you with water, but he who's coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." That is a reference to what is going to take place. And so Jesus says, if you want to see heaven, you have to be born of water and Spirit. And he, in essence, he is saying that this is a new birth. Hence the title, that the new birth is just the beginning. That the new birth is not the end. It's not we get to the new birth and then we're done. That we can just go on our merry way and we don't need to do anything or be anything or live any certain way. The new birth is just the beginning. Now, I love babies. And for some reason, babies love me. Toddlers, not so much. But I've always liked, you give me a 4-week-old baby, I mean, I want to hold it. I'm like a woman, man. It's like you see a newborn baby, you know, come to church or come to some gathering for the first time, and all the women are holding the baby, and it's like, "Man, I'll give you my turn." I love babies. In fact, I was holding a baby at a youth convention back in 1993. And Crystal, my wife, who didn't think very much of me at the time, I hope she thinks a lot of me now, but at the time she didn't think much of me, and she saw me holding this baby in service, and she said, "He can't be that bad." And we'll celebrate 25 years of marriage this coming July. But I love babies, and people grow up looking to have kids and looking to have babies. But the birth is not just the goal. That if you have a baby and you're like, got that done, check that off, and you leave the baby will die. That the responsibility doesn't end with the birth. The responsibility doesn't end because there's a 7-pound baby that's there. And so it is, as Jesus was saying, this is a new birth. It is being born again. That it's not the end of the journey. It's not the ultimate goal. It is just the beginning. And for those of you that have kids, or those of you that were kids, let's make sure I include everybody. Aren't you thankful that after the birth you weren't just left by yourself, but your parents, they nurtured you, and they made sure that you were fed and that you were clothed and that you grew up and you matured. It's part of the process. So the new birth is not just check it off my list and I'm done. It would be nice sometimes if that was the end goal, but it is not the end goal. Next week I will talk about maturity and the process of growing. But for the next 5 to 7 minutes, let me talk about what you get when you're born again. That when you experience the new birth and you come to that saving relationship with Jesus Christ, there are some things that you get. There are some benefits to the process. There are some things that I don't want to live without personally. First of those is this. It's that the new birth begins a life filled with God's presence. I can't imagine going through life and being on my own. I can't imagine going through life and not having Jesus Christ with me. I can't imagine trying to face all the trouble and the trials and difficulties that we face and doing it by myself. And it's great when you have people alongside of you. But it's even better when you've got the God of the universe who is living on the inside, who is walking with you, who is living inside of you, who is helping you along the way. Jesus said this in John 14. He said, "I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive Him because it isn't looking for Him and doesn't recognize Him, but you know Him because He lives with you. And later will be in you." And there's a whole lot of theology in that passage where Jesus says He's with you, but He will be in you. Verse 18, though, He says, "No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." And when we come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, and when we are born again of water and Spirit, when we experience that, and Jesus is living on the inside of us, we never have to be alone. That we can always walk in His presence. We can always walk with Him, knowing that He is with us. He is the Comforter. He will not leave us as orphans. Anybody thankful to have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you? Anybody thankful that you're not orphaned in the Spirit, that you didn't just have this birth and then God leaves you? You didn't just experience this new birth and now you're on your own to do it, but He is with you. I don't know about you, but when I think sometimes of people who don't know Jesus Christ, they don't have His Spirit living inside of them, I really don't know how they make it through life. And I've had a pretty good life. I'm not going to get up here and tell you some sob story about how horrible my life has been. But there have been enough times where it's not gone just right, and there's been enough times where it's not always been great. And all I have to do is call on the name of Jesus, and He is there, that we can experience the manifestation of His presence in our lives. And I said this earlier, He's always here. He was in this gym before we got here today. But when we worship Him and we call upon Him, it's like the one who is always there, He taps you on the shoulder, just in case you was wondering, I'm here already. And that we can go through life feeling and experiencing the presence of God. Not only that, but the new birth begins a life filled with God's power. I quoted John earlier when he said, I baptize you with water, but He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Fire is powerful. And I don't know all the reasons for the metaphor that John uses and Jesus repeats, and it's repeated numerous times in the New Testament. But he said this, Jesus said this in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That when we have His Spirit living on the inside, it is a life of power. That He's not just there, but He is empowering us to live for Him. He's empowering us to be witnesses. He is empowering us to tell everybody we can about Jesus. Jesus said this, and there's a lot of complicated things in this, but He said this in Mark 16. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And signs, in case you're wondering, it is supernatural, miraculous events. He said, these supernatural things shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That when you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, it is a life filled with power. It is a life where any circumstance and any situation you face, God is not only with you, but He gives you the power to overcome it. He gives you the power to speak into it. He gives you the power to do the miraculous through His Spirit. Right here in what is our small, at the moment, small congregation, we have already seen God do the miraculous. We've seen God bring healing. We've seen God do all number of things because His Spirit is here. That the new birth begins a life filled with God's power. In order to end on time, musicians would go ahead and come. But thirdly, the new birth begins a life filled with God's product. Now, being a preacher, had to keep the alliteration, so presence, power, and product. But here's what I mean by this. Romans 14:17 says this, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That what God produces in us is righteousness, it is peace, it is joy in the Holy Ghost. That the kingdom of God is not about material things, but it is about spiritual things, and it is about what God is doing in us and through us. That He gives us His righteousness. He enables us to live out His holiness. He gives us His peace. He gives us His joy. Joy not like the world gives, but the joy that can't be taken away. That's the joy that He gives us. That's what He does in our lives. Paul wrote it this way in Galatians, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. You see, sometimes people who are happy may be kind, they may be gentle. But the only way you can really get true joy, true gentleness, goodness, faith, true meekness, true self-control is through the power of the Holy Spirit that lives within inside of us. And God produces fruit in our lives. He is always with us when we're filled with His Spirit. His power enables us to see the miraculous and overcome every situation. But not only that, but He is producing something in us. He is producing the fruit of His Spirit. It's not the joy that I can just conjure up and go, I just want to be joyful today. Oh, but His Spirit causes me to be joyful. His Spirit brings me peace. His Spirit causes me to be gentle. His Spirit enables me to be kind. His Spirit enables me to be faithful. His Spirit gives me and enables me to have self-control. And I'm not even sure it's really self-control, because it's only possible if He's in control that I can even exhibit any kind of seeming self-control. When you're born again, it's not the end, but it's just the beginning of a life of wonder. It's the beginning of a life of joy, of peace. You hear sometimes stories of missionaries. Mostly it's missionaries. It doesn't really happen here in North America. But you hear stories of people being persecuted for their Christian faith. That they share the gospel and they get imprisoned and they're tortured and they're beaten. Their families are threatened. And you wonder, why do they keep preaching the gospel? Why do they keep going? It's because in the midst of all of that suffering and in the midst of all of that trouble and tribulation, they have a peace that passes all understanding. They have a joy that's not built around their circumstances. That their circumstances don't determine whether they're joyful. The Spirit of God in their heart and life determines whether they have peace, and it determines whether they have joy, and it determines whether they're faithful. And that's the God that you and I serve. That when He comes and we are born again, it's just the beginning of a great life. Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote a song, early 90s, called The Great Adventure. And I would just tell you that if you have just recently been born again, this is a great adventure. If you've already been born again, you already know that this is a great adventure. That living for God is the best life that you and I could ever have. Is it always easy? No. But is it always great? Yes. Is it always an adventure? Yes. The new birth is just not just a beginning, but it begins a life filled with His presence, filled with His power, and filled with His product. Let's stand together. So I don't have to wonder. I can see on your faces that you are already, that you're feeling what I'm feeling, that you are feeling God's presence in this room. So I'm going to invite you to the front here in just a moment to pray a couple of things and maybe make some commitments. One is this, is that if you have recently been born again, that born again, as Jesus said in John 3:5, that I want you to celebrate what He has done. Secondly, I want you to commit that you won't let that be the end of the journey. That you will recognize that it's only the beginning of what God wants to do in your life. If you haven't been born again, then you can begin that process today. It's a matter of coming to faith in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins and telling Him you're sorry for what you've been doing and you're sorry for following your way and you want to follow His way. Understanding that Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for your sin and mine. And asking Him to fill you with His Spirit. And we're not prepared to take care of the baptism part today. We're going to have a baptism service, I think, on November 17. You got 5 or 6 people ready to be baptized. We'll do that in a couple of weeks. But you can do the first part, which is repent today. And God will take care of the other part, which is to fill you with His Spirit, if you would like that. If you have been born again for a long time, celebrate that yet again, but also make a commitment that you're going to take as many people to heaven with you, that you're going to share the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ with somebody this week. So as they continue to play, why don't you come to the front just for a few minutes if you're comfortable with that, just as a sign of surrender. It doesn't save you. It doesn't do anything other than saying, Lord, I'm in agreement with Your Word. That what Your Word says, I want to do. That's all it does today. And when you get to the front, would you pray one of those three prayers that we talked about? Celebrate what He's done. Make a commitment to walk in His presence, His power, and to let Him produce His fruit in your life. As they begin to sing, why don't you lift your voices, lift your hands if you're comfortable with that. Jesus, we love You. God, we thank You for what You have done. Lord, we thank You for Your presence and Your power that we feel in this service today. God, we're not here just to go through the motions. We're not here, Lord, just to say that we went to church. We're not here just to say that we had service. We have come, Lord, to be in Your presence. We've come to see lives, our lives transformed yet again by Your power and Your Spirit. Lord, would You pray that right now? Would You thank Him for what He's done and what He's doing?